Hello, and please welcome Said, that is going to talk to us about the Lighthouse Positioning System, something we've been using a lot at Bitcraze, and that he's been doing awesome job about. No pressure again. So that's going to be great. Welcome, Said.
Thank you very much. You know, I have to say there is way more people than I expected, so thank you for your interest. I hope the presentation is good. So as Arno said, my name is Said Alvarado. I am a PhD student at the IRIA Paris on swarm robotics localization, and I spent the last 2 years of my life trying to coax a VR gaming headset to do things it was never meant to do, and I am here to tell you all about it. Et voilà. We had a question in my laboratory. You know, VR gaming headsets are really good at localization. They are very fast, very responsive, really high precision. So can we do that, but for robots? It turns out the answer is yes. And not only yes, yes. It works surprisingly well, like really high precision, really high accuracy, very low cost. So I hope that in this talk, I can give you a general overview introduction to this technology, how it works, what are the core concepts that you need to know to both understand it and use it, show you some of the open source tools that exist, and hopefully give you a general idea of whether or not it's a good fit for whatever project you want to embark. So, what is a lighthouse? So, a lighthouse is that little box over there. It's used for localization on the Valve Index and the HTC Vive VR gaming headset. Those are little boxes that you put in the corners of rooms, and they start emitting laser pulses. Now, the helmets and the handhelds have little sensors that they receive this light, and with that, they can compute their own position. Now, why would we want to do this? Aren't there alternatives? Yes, yes, there are many alternatives. In fact, if you want to use the best of the best, you will use a camera-based motion capture system like a Vicon or a Qualysys system. They are absolutely amazing, like insanely high refresh rate, sub-millimeter precision. But they have one caveat. They are a centralized system. You have a bunch of cameras. They are recording your robots. They send all the information to your computer. Your computer crunches numbers. And then your computers know where the robots are. The robots don't know where they are until you tell them, which is fine if you have like a dozen robots. You can just send it to Wi-Fi or something. But the moment you start dealing with swarms of 100 or up to 1,000 robots, this becomes a very serious problem on the bandwidth of your system. If you are into any conference, you know how the Wi-Fi works when you have more than 50 persons in a room. Try 1,000 robots. Just does not work. Also, they are egregiously expensive. We have one in my lab. I believe it costs like 40K euros, which is fine. It's a very good technology, but it's not appropriate for every single scenario. On the other hand, the Lighthouse Positioning System has a fairly decent update rate. 5 millimeters is good enough for a robot like this size or that size. That's enough. But more importantly, the moment the laser hits the sensor has all the information it needs to compute its own position. Thus, the position is known by the robot. Then if the robot wants to tell you the central controller, it can do so, but you don't need to have like 100 update hertz rate on the transmitter just to get like a closed loop control working. It is also fairly expensive because it's based on very available hardware. So let's go into the details. So this system is based on two different parts. We have the base stations, which are little boxes. They have a bunch of little motors, lasers, and mirrors that spin around and project a spinning pattern of lasers around it. It costs about $160 if you buy it on the on Steam. They sell it there. And you have the sensors. The sensors are these little things that actually receive the light. They are based on a custom-made chip that's called the TS4231, which has a really fun story. They were custom-made for this and this application only by a US company called Trias Semiconductors, and for some reason, which I don't know, they just decided to sell them. So you can just buy them at DigiKey. They are there with a data sheet and everything. Sadly, the Lighthouse does not have a data sheet. It's not open source, so that's why the technology is not super widespread, even though the parts are actually available. Now, there is actually two types of Lighthouse, version 1 and version 2. This whole presentation is on version 2. The difference is on the beam pattern. The Lighthouse 1 has two motors and thus a sweeping horizontal and vertical laser pattern. And the Lighthouse V2, they actually managed to fit the exact same horizontal vertical information on a single motor. So they use like a single spinning motor and two V-shaped planes. From this moment onwards, if I'm talking about Lighthouse, I'm referring to the V2. That's the one we are going to be using. So you have a sensor. You have the base station set up. The lasers are flying around. Your laser hits the sensor. What happens then? So the chip has two data lines. One's called envelope, which just tells you, hey, there is data here. It's just a single interrupt line. And then you have the data line, which receives a bit stream. Now, to be specific, this is a 12 megahertz Manchester encoded differential bit stream of a pseudo-random number sequence. But for all practical effects and purposes, it's just a really huge 96 kilobit bit stream that you know. Like, this isn't a table. You can just look it up exactly which bits go where. Now, a small parenthesis, because this is important for anyone who wants to implement this. In my laboratory, we found out that you need to sample this line at least 32 megahertz. Otherwise, the signal is just not recoverable. 12 megahertz is aggressively fast for a signal you have to like sample on GPIO. You have about 80 nanoseconds between pulses. And this turned out to be the main limitation of implementing this technology on a particular like low-power microprocessor. If your MCU can do 32 mega samples on a GPIO, you're good to go. If it can't, you're going to have to find another one. Parenthesis closed. So when the base station starts a sweep, it starts at the right, and it starts sweeping, and it starts sending the bit stream. It starts bit 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, blah, blah, blah. The base station rotates at constant speed, and the bit stream is transmitted also at constant speed. So by the time you hit about 90 degrees, you're already at bit 48,000. It keeps going, you keep receiving a part of the bit stream, and by the time you finish the half rotation, you are at 96k, roughly, bits. So you have a sensor, it gets hit by the laser, and you receive that bunch of data. You grab that data, and you go to a gigantic lookup table and check, what part of the bit stream did I just receive? For example, if you notice that you start counting and you say, OK, I got bit number 24,000, you can get a very direct correspondence that means that you just receive a laser that was transmitted at 45 degrees from the base station. And that's the whole point of the bit stream. This is just a very complicated way of telling the sensor what was the rotational position of the lighthouse when the laser hits the sensor. Why? Because if you have, for example, two base stations positioned at known locations, and one of them is reporting 30 degrees, and the other one is reporting 110 degrees, then the only possible position where the sensor could be is this. Then, since we also get not only horizontal, but also vertical angle information, we can also extend this to 3D positioning. And thus, you can do a full triangulation, and you get the position of your sensor wherever it is. OK, a couple of steps back. We need to talk about a little caveat. This is all very nice, but we just talked that the lighthouse actually projects a V shape. This doesn't do like a little cross. How do we correlate those two things? So if you put yourself on the position of the lighthouse looking forward, what you see is a little V pattern going from right to left. And what you get on the sensor is the rotational position when those planes hit the sensor that are called alpha 1 and alpha 2. And through some confusing looking but not actually that difficult trigonometry, you can actually translate that to both azimuth, horizontal angle, and elevation, vertical angle. And we are back to doing triangulation. Now, small summary of the whole thing. You have a lighthouse, it projects a V. You have a sensor, it receives it, and it gets a bit stream. From the bit stream, you calculate azimuth and elevation, and from then you triangulate the position of the sensor. That's pretty much it. Except, you know, it's kind of a huge limitation that you have to know the position of the base stations to be able to compute the location of the sensor. Like, you're not going to go onto the stairs and start measuring where you put the lighthouse with like millimeter precision just to get the thing working. That makes no sense. So let's fix that. Thankfully, This problem was solved for us about 30 years ago by computer vision researchers, because this is a problem known as stereo vision calibration. And in the next slide, we're going to see that through some little mathematical intuition, we can actually equate a lighthouse base station to a pinhole camera. And since we can treat it as a camera, that means we can take advantage of decades upon decades of research in computer vision to solve all of this for us. Little pause for water. Wonderful. So, imagine this. You have a base station, you have a sensor, you have the line that connects the both of them. You know the angle of this light because that's what we've been getting from the bitstream. Imagine you have a camera plane, like an image plane, that you put in front of the lighthouse, and then you intersect the laser going from the base station to the sensor with that plane. Looking at it on 3D, it looks something like this. You have a base station overlooking some robots moving around, and we want to transform azimuth and elevation angles, which are kind of unwieldy, into pixels. How do we have this information as pixels? Because pixels are nice to work with. Well, you intersect them with that imaginary plane, and wherever they hit, they are your pixels. And you have a lighthouse image. The position of those pixels is related to the azimuth and elevation of the angles you were doing, and the K is the intrinsic camera matrix. The only thing it means is that we're working with like an idealized pinhole camera model. It's a really simple model. Once you have this done, this is the crux of lighthouse localization. Triangulation is nice. If you can treat it as a camera, then you have access to way, way more techniques for it. Like, for example, a stereo vision. Now, the stereo vision problem can be thought as follows. You have a real-world object in some location, and you have a view of that object from two different cameras and two different locations. Cameras, base stations, whatever you want to call it. And the question is, can we get from both perspectives, can we calculate the rotation and translation from one camera to the other? Because knowing this is the same as knowing where the base stations are located. And once you know that, you can go back to triangulation. The problem is solved. Once you know that, also you can do a lot of really cool stuff. Like, for example, you can do photogrammetry, 3D reconstructions, or doing like depth estimation based on your images. Really cool technology. Let's explore two ways that we tried and we know work for doing this with the lighthouse. Number one is 3D essential matrix reconstruction. It's not as bad as it sounds. There is the library that does it for you. You have two base stations. They are looking at a robot that has only a single sensor. This is for like single sensor reconstruction. If you have at least 7 points that you know correspond between both views, you can just go to OpenCV and calculate the essential matrix. The essential matrix is the matrix that relates both views of the same object. There is a function for that. You don't need to do it yourself. You don't need to understand the math. You need at least 7 points, and they must not be coplanar. The function spits out a matrix, and then you can do a singular value decomposition, and it gives you R and T. And then you're done. You know where the base stations are. You can do triangulation. Now, if you have more than one sensor, say, for example, you have four, you can do something that's called the perspective endpoint problem, which is the following. You have one or more cameras looking at an object that you know. You know the dimensions and shape of this object, or you have known markers on it. If you know where it is and what's supposed to look like, you can guess from the picture where the picture was taken from. It's a very simple concept. If you have a car and you have a camera and you take a picture of the car, if in the picture you can see the trunk, you are not taking the picture from the front. You're clearly behind the car. If you know the geometry of the object with high precision, then you can get really high precision on where the camera was when it took the picture. Say, for example, you have this PCB that has four lighthouse sensors in four locations. If you know where they are, you take a measurement of each. Based on how it looks, you know where the cameras are. This also has an implementation in OpenCV. You need at least 4 points. Doesn't matter if they're coplanar or not. You just put that in there, and it will give you the position of the base stations. And again, you're ready to go back to the triangulation. So this is all cool and all that math is fine, but how well does this actually work? Now, here are some numbers to back me up when I say it works well. This is based on a paper me and my lab published, as well as a paper that the BitCrazy people published. Both single sensor and multi-sensor tracking gives you about 1 centimeter of precision, sometimes less, sometimes more. But there's one really cool result that I would like to point out, that the system is really stable. Like, if you put a sensor on a table and you measure it, the variation and the measurement, like the jitter of the measurement, it's less than a millimeter, which means that you can put like two sensors right next to each other, 2 meters away from the base station, and the base station will be able to tell them apart, which is really cool for like micro precision positioning. Disclaimer, these numbers were taken on a 2 by 2 by 2 meter cube space. So it's not like we are talking about, yeah, we are very precise in this 10 by 10 centimeter. No, no, no. That can be done in like this area. Cool, that's cool and all. I'm sold, I want one. Where can I buy it? So I have good news and bad news for you. Good news, a lot of open source work. For those who have electronic hardware production capabilities, here is an implementation of a breakout board for the sensor chip. This was designed by myself. It's nothing special, it's just the reference design on the data sheet. But if you want a PCB that's been known and tested to work many, many, many times, here you have a reference. Please take it. It's made in KiCad, and all the sources and their build material is all open source, and it's all there. I have made many of these. They all work. One little caveat, the TS4231 chip, it's a BGA with like 0.5 millimeter separation between the pads. Not easy to solder in the slideless. You might want to use PCBA manufacturing. Firmware-wise, MiamLab published a reference decoder for the Lighthouse pulses based on the Raspberry Pi Pico. You can grab a Raspberry Pi Pico, connect 4 of the sensors to it, and put it in front of a couple of base stations, and it will just start streaming through serial all the angle information it gets. It's pretty stable, it works really well, and it's very fast. It takes like 30 microseconds per pulse for computation. So if you want to have a reference decoder, you can go here. If you want a reference on the math behind it, the link to the paper explaining all of this, it's in the page for this presentation. We also have an implementation for the NRF, Nordic Semiconductors 52 and 53 family. But for hardware limitation, those can only handle a single Lighthouse sensor. That's nice. I don't want to do research on this, you say? I want to buy one. That's the bad news. The closest thing you can get right now is Bitcraze company sells these very nice Lighthouse decks, which I believe we have a talk later today in which someone used them to locate a robot. And they have a very nice user interface. It's already done for you. You just plug it in. It's made to work with the drones, but it works with whatever you want to put it on. I believe I have permission to say this. They are working on like a standalone version of this, which will be out someday, maybe, hopefully. Now, before we finish, I would like to say thank you both to the Bitcraze company and the LibSurvive project, because they did a lot of the like hard reverse engineering effort on like getting this technology to work. I am just the last on a long list of people who have worked to make this technology open source. And without their work, none of this would be possible. So I thank them for the contribution, and I thank all of you for coming here. I hope you enjoy the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you, Said. I believe we have time for a couple of questions. Yes?
Yes, it is an interpositioning system.
So the sensor has to be inside of the Lighthouse permanently. How do you solve this?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite get the question.
The sensor has to be inside of the Lighthouse laser.
It should be in the area, and according to Valve, the Lighthouse projects a 5 by 5 meter projection cone in front of it. So if you put one here, it should cover all of this area.
Yeah, but the sensor needs to be inside permanently to the system.
I worked a lot on this kind of system. You have to be line of sight. It's an optical system. But this is also why you put multiple base stations. So your robot will usually have a Kalman filter or some kind of sensor augmentation that will take care of the dead spot. And by having multiple base stations, you will be able to cover more area as well. But it's very much like a camera or a mock-up. It has to be in the line of sight.
I played around with Lip Survive with multiple trackers, and then I'm using the Vive tracker. The problem I always had is if I lose line of sight of one, your whole system desynchronizes and collapses. You had the same problem, or did you solve that?
In our particular case, since we're using this for robot locations, we do what Arno just mentioned. We don't rely exclusively on this, but we use it as a sort of GPS. We do that reckoning while we don't have the lighthouse, and at one point we will get one of the pulses and we will be able to calibrate back on that. The Vive tracker has the issue that I think it only relies on the lighthouse. I don't know if it has an internal IMU to like...
I think it has.
It has an internal IMU.
Oh, fascinating.
Here in this hardware that I'm currently designing, there is no... I'm currently designing a VR headset, which is powered by LibSurvive, and here I'm using the BitKreis prototype, but in the future I'm going to design my own PCB with more sensors and a Raspberry Pi Pico on it. So in the current prototype I have 3 PCBs and I'm want to make a larger PCB with more sensors and everything combined.
Nice. Well, do please take the reference designs if you want to use them for anything.
We have time for another question.
Very short one.
Okay. I'd like to know, does this system work in direct sunlight?
Sorry.
I assume the lasers are infrared.
The lasers are in fact infrared. We haven't tested them like outside at noon. Oh, sorry.
Could you repeat the question here so that people...
I assume that the lasers in the lighthouses operate in infrared, so I would like to know if this system works in direct sunlight.
So, yes, they are in fact infrared pulses, and they do get interference from the sun. I haven't tested this system outdoors because it's not meant for outdoors locations. But in our lab, we do have very large windows, and we do have like moments of the day where you got a lot of direct sunlight on top of it. We noticed that you get a bit less range on it, but the chip self-calibrates and removes any DC offset, so it works fairly well even when sunlight is interfering. Haven't tried it outside, though, like at noon, no idea. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You know? Is there one more over there?
Okay.
One more? Cool.
Okay. Thank you. Did you actually test it on larger ranges? Because theoretically you can have 16 lighthouses, which would give you fairly big range. Did you stretch this out to the max at some point?
The max I have tested is with 4 base stations. We haven't gone all the way, but we are working on a project. Like, the whole reason we are doing this is because we want to do like a 1,000 robot test bed on a gigantic area. So we will be testing that very soon. You can see our papers getting published at some point.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.